Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, we looked at last time, read over these verses, and then kind of used this to go off in a different direction, kind of in a different direction. We want to just look at these few verses here, moving on in our study. Last time we took a look at the Lord's love, or asked the questions, you know, do you love or do you exhibit charity? Do you and I exhibit charity in our lives? Here in verse number 24 of chapter 11, we start a handful of verses here that speaks about liberality, being liberal. And we as the children of the Lord, we need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We need to exhibit the love of the Lord, charity, love with legs on it, not just love that we talk about, although that is important, but what's more important is the love that we show. That we show in every aspect of life. We show to everyone that we would meet, to one extent or another. And granted, you know, there's a right balance in things, and we have our families that we protect from those that pursue wickedness. And so we would never seek to expose our families willingly to those that would be a detriment or a harm to them. But to those who are wicked and wayward, we should yet have a love for them about the salvation of their souls. They need change. They need touched. I shared with Brother Steve and Brother Nikki about a man that I went to high school with, and he was just wicked. He would tell you that he was wicked. He just lived a wicked life and was noted for such. And at our 10th year high school reunion, he was there, he and his wife and maybe their children. And he was the same way as he was. And life for him just seemed to be going down. He was as sour as he ever was and as vile as he ever was and all that. But our 20th anniversary, the Lord had saved him. And he was a different man. He was a man that I told them, he was a man that in my mind and in my heart, especially before the Lord saved me, I don't know about afterwards, but before the Lord saved me, for sure, I'd say there's no hope for him. But there was, because there's life and there's Christ. And the Lord saved him. And man, the testimony of the Lord saving his soul and what I remembered about when we grew up together and went to high school and school together and high school together and then saw one another 10 years later and all that. I mean, he was just sour on life. You know, the Lord saved him and he was a happy man 20 years later. And he had a testimony of Christ in his life and salvation of his soul. And the work that he did, it would be a challenging work and a difficult work because he dealt with people, and he dealt with people in the prison system, in the federal prison system, and that. And yet he had a desire for good things even for them, and he worked amongst murderers and rapists and extortioners and grand theft, you know, larceny and all that. I mean, all whatever kind of vile thing that would end up in a federal prison, he worked, but he had a desire for them too. That's what the love of the Lord did for him. He then gave of himself, and it was just manifested in him. And so, listen to these verses here. They speak of liberality, and they speak of generosity. They speak of giving of self. That's what charity is the giving of self, the exhibition of love by the giving of self. In verse number 24, there is that scattereth and yet increases. There's that seems like, man, they just give and give and give and give and give. But there's a blessing there amongst them. Okay? And it's not talking about being unwise. It's not talking about not being a good steward. There's fine lines and there's balance in this. But there are those that it seems like they give and they spread and all that, and it's never a detriment to them. There is that scattereth, yet increaseth. There is that with which holdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The Lord Jesus Christ said, we saw it last Wednesday, you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. You keep your life to yourself. You keep yourself bottled up. You keep yourself protected in your heart and our emotions and our feelings in that. We'll lose our life. But I tell you what, if we'll spend it, if we'll use it for the Lord's sake, if we'll love those that are around us, now that's who we're responsible for, is who's around us, then I tell you what, we'll gain our life. And this goes from from home and workplace and family and anybody that you meet and in the church. Give of yourself. What's the example of Lord Jesus Christ? It's what He did. It seems like He scattered too much, didn't He? Gave His life. Yielded His body. Poured out His soul unto death. Right? Isaiah 53. Three references there in Isaiah 53 about the soul of the Lord. He said that He'll see the suffering of His soul. The Father would, and He would be appeased. It seemed like the Lord scattered too much, but you know what? He gained it all because of it, didn't He? Gained the likes of us. I don't know. That's not much of a blessing to Him, but it's sure a blessing to us, isn't it? Amen? Right? But withholding more than is meat tendeth to poverty. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. I think what it's saying there is while you can. Not hoping for another day that, well, in another day I'll be able to give. And I'm not just talking about stuff. The giving of stuff is the starting point, okay? That's the basic point. I'm talking about the giving of self. Give a portion to seven or maybe to eight. Because you know what? You don't know when you're not going to be able to later on. It says, give a portion to seven and to eight, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. And you know what? We all get older and we become less able. And while we're younger, we need to do in the name of the Lord while we can. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves and give ourselves to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to our family, to those are those that we come in contact, work with, go to school with, while we can. Because the Lord gave all of Himself, and He's our example and our witness. And may the Lord help us in that. Our tendency is, and we struggle with this, is the thing that can be, we might give for the stranger more than we would give for our own, the own of our household, of ourselves. And we need to be willing to give to all. We need to give to all. Those closest to us, those farthest from us. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And I tell you what, there's several ways to be poor. To lack. That's what poor means, is to not have. Well, money's one that one might not have. And food is one something that someone might not have. Shelter. You know what? People can be poor and having friends. People can be poor spiritually. And we can share with them the truth of God's Word, and they can be helped. Amen? There's a lot of ways to be poor. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he giveth hath given will he pay him again. That's a promise from God. Especially the Lord brings it our way, and I think we need to be wise in it. We need to be good stewards in it. But I'm thankful that the Lord has impressed such that when we have those that come with need to our church, that the Lord does work in us that we can give to that. Amen. And the Scripture says, of those that ask. And we need to be on the lookout for those that are in need, and maybe that they wouldn't ask. But I tell you what, I've got respect for one that would ask over one that would hint. That's just a little sidebar. But if they do ask of us and we are able and we see the leadership of the Lord in it, you know, we had someone that wanted to came to us and was looking for help with a down payment on a place that they could rent for them and their live-in. We don't need to contribute to that. But somebody that's in a situation like we had here recently that needed help with their electric bill, a woman and her son, he was just out of work. According, that's a story that we were told. The account we were told, and that's what we're to operate on. And the Lord blessed us that we could give to that. You know what the Scripture says? The Lord will pay us that back. That's what He says. Amen? He'll pay us that back. And we need to do it for the Lord without expectation of being paid back. But the promise of the Lord is that. Verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Not hanging on to life with a white-knuckle grip, but being liberal. Being liberal with self. Over in Luke chapter 16, the scripture says, the Lord is here, he's quoted, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." This is what the Lord said. "He that is faithful in that which is least is also is faithful also in much." Faithful in a little bit to the Lord, it's an indication to be faithful in much. That's what the Lord said. But say, "Well, no, on another day, I'll extend myself for fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. In another day, I'll give this to the Lord. When my payroll gets up to a certain point, then I'll be able to give to the work of God. When I get to this point financially, then I'll be able to break away and have some time for the service of the Lord." That day will never come. It'll never come. I guarantee you it'll never come. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Got your life? Hoard it up for yourself? Is the Lord going to give you other blessings to enjoy, having not given in the simple thing of just life? Whether that be in witness, whether that be in physical things, whether that be in friendship and companionship, fellowship with our family, brothers and sisters in Christ, our neighbor, those in need of hearing the gospel. You hear that? He says, verse 11 in Luke chapter 16, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" What are the true riches? That's the Word of God. That's eternal things. And not being faithful with the things of this earth, not being liberal and generous with the things of this earth, not giving of ourselves, how can we really get something that'll have eternal value? Right? Because it's not about how we are here and there and in this, and we all have things we've got to work on, but it's how we are overall. I've told you before, we need to be one person all the time. One person all the time. And may the Lord help us that we be generous, that we be liberal in that which would be pleasing to the Lord. "And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" And that's true. "No servant can serve two masters, for either we will hate the one and love the other, or else we would hold to the one and despise the other," it goes on to say. "You cannot serve God and mammon," that's the stuff of life. But you know what? You can't serve yourself and the Lord either. You can't serve yourself and the Lord too. Because either we'll hate the one and love the other, or we'll despise the one and love the other. Amen? May the Lord help us in that. Is the Lord saying, don't be a good steward? No, but He says, rather use the liberty that we have towards good and generosity, as the Lord did, that we might be examples of the Lord. Verse 26 of Proverbs 11. "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." I mentioned to you those that deal in commodities. that's a verse. You know, sell that corn. Sell that corn and sell it for a profit. But see, one that would be stingy with that, what they would have, and even to those that would seek to buy it. There's a blessing for those that work and don't hoard to themselves. Verse 27, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor." Seeking the good, seeking the blessing in things. And yes, sometimes we got to deal with evil things. Sometimes we got to deal with sinful things. I'm not talking about going around with red, rose-tinted glasses. But seeking that which is good. "One that does so procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him." We see it one more time. The wicked and their pursuits and the violence that covereth the mouth of the wicked, ultimately it comes back around right on them. That's the way that it is. The Lord says it over and over again. Verse 28, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall." He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Be a good steward of what the Lord's given. I tell you what, don't put your trust in that. Invest in silver and gold, right? I don't know if we could really handle being able to even trade that way. I don't have a scale. Do you? We need trust in the Lord. We need to be diligent. We need to be prudent. But our help comes from the Lord. He that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. The righteous shall flourish as a branch. And we saw what it says there in verse 25 about liberality and that reference there in Luke. Verse 29, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. This word troubleth, it speaks to disturbing or afflicting or stirring. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit nothing. We trouble our houses, our homes. It says over in Ephesians that we as fathers, we should not to provoke our children to wrath. Right? We're to raise our children in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. That's what we're to do. And people raise their children and let them go wild. Folks will, in the rearing of the children, will just pick at them all the time. That's no good either. And they need to be, they need to have discipline, but they need to, we need to understand that they are children. There's a balance in all those things. There is. But if we trouble our homes, a man that doesn't value his home, his wife, and his children as the Lord says that he should, he'll miss the blessing of it. He'll inherit the wind. We need to value those blessings from the Lord. And you know what? We need to nurture and cultivate them. We do. We don't need to let our priorities get out of line. He goes on to say, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. One that is foolish, one that is silly, one that is not does not take the instruction, the knowledge, the understanding from the Word of God. He won't be working for himself. He'll be at the mercy of another. And the one that he might be at the mercy of might not be too good. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. We looked at some time ago about yielding spiritual fruit. How you doing on your fruit production? Go over there and read in 2 Peter chapter 1 about what we're to add to faith. Read over there in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit that we're to be producing. Speak to the Lord about wherein you and I lack. I lack. I'm not the example. I'm to be an example. May the Lord help me that I be a good example. But I'm not the example. Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate example, isn't He? And he did He not yield fruit? And we are to yield that fruit of the Spirit. How do we do with that fruit of the Spirit relative to our relationships? Because the whole people thing, our relationship with the Lord. Some time ago over at camp, the theme of that camp a few years ago was in relationships. You know, our relationship, if our relationship with the Lord's not right, it'll make it where my relationship with my spouse won't be right. It'll make it where my relationship with my children won't be right. It'll make it where my relationship with my friends or my neighbors, if you will, won't be right. All that fits together. The fruit of our lives, the fruit of the righteous, is indeed a tree of life. It speaks and points to always the Lord. And it says there in this verse, and he that winneth souls is wise. This word winneth is talking about bringing or carrying away, drawing, fetching, getting, mingling, receiving, reserving, seizing, take, use. Are you and I concerned about the souls that are around us and the salvation of them? Yes, it's the Lord that saves, but we're the mouthpiece and the messengers of the gospel. The gospel isn't going to fall out of the sky and strike them on the side of the head. We are there to tell them. One sister here not too long ago said, I need to do better fishing with the net of the gospel. Ours is just to tell. Ours is not to save them. Ours is just to tell it. To tell it some way, to tell it with our mouth, tell it with the tract, tell it with a letter. To let them know that we are concerned about their souls. And family's the hardest ones to do it with, isn't it? And it's that way. May God help us. He that seeks and desires the welfare of souls, he that is liberal with that which he's been blessed with, the word of life, is wise. Is wise. I got a half a dozen men in my life that I didn't tell the gospel to. And I don't know where they are, other than a few of them. I know if the testimony that they had before held out to the time that they died, they're in hell. I regret that. I regret that. I'm reminded about those fellows from time to time. You know, and I was there around them, having been saved by the Lord, but I didn't tell them. Well, Jim Nobles, he was there at the city counter for Metro Electric. And I went in there one day during the week, and then I went in there at the end of the week or the first of the next week, and he was dead. Just a few years older than me. I never did witness to that man. He was Catholic. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is indeed wise. Verse number 18 of this chapter. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, right? But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. He that winneth souls is wise. Remember how we read there in 1 Thessalonians how the Apostle Paul said about those Thessalonican brothers and sisters, says, "Are ye not our crown of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord?" The blessing and the reward is the joy over the Lord having saved those that the apostle was used of God to be a witness to. That not a extra story on the mansion, not a wider street out in front of the mansion, you hear me? There in glory. But he says, they were the crown of rejoicing that he had. And the Lord using him to be a witness to them. In chapter 10, in verse number 16, look at what it says there. And the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Labor on, labor on. Keep the bright reward in view. For the Master has said he will strength renew. Labor on till the close of day. What's the labor? Is it not being a witness for the Lord? I mean, when you take it and boil it all down for the child of God, especially we that are in the church, what is the labor that we're to be doing in the daytime? Telling others about Christ. That's where it out. For first part of the commission for the church. Verse number 31 of chapter 11. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Boy, there's a contrast, isn't there? Recompensed in the earth. The righteous, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 30, those that follow after the Lord, those that obey the Lord and follow after Him, He says in Mark 10, 30, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands. He says, if you've left that, serving me and following me, you'll receive a hundredfold. And I tell you what, that's so. Lord's blessed me with that in my life. Of older brethren that are not my blood kin, but they are as fathers to me. The Lord's done that for me. Older sisters that the Lord has blessed, that they've had a care for me as a mother. I tell you what's a blessing. Brothers and sisters. I never had any blood brothers and sisters. But how many blood brothers and sisters do I have? At different churches and different ones from coast to coast. A blessing. A blessing from the Lord. Oh, and when we see one another and able to be together again, we have a great fellowship because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having not had blood brothers and sisters, I yet, being saved, do have blood brothers and sisters because by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? That'll be eternal. I tell you what. The righteous, the saved, the justified shall be recompensed in the earth. Like I said here not too long ago, how many of them would it be? How many would it be that if I had a problem, I had a difficulty, that you would come running with what you have and what you could do to help me and my family? That's as good as owning it, isn't it? If you bring your ability, your talent, or your stuff to come help me, your hand, that's just as good as owning it, isn't it? If it helps me out with what I need done, if I need rescued or helped out, isn't that just the same as owning it? I get the benefit of it. Amen? That's a blessing of the Lord. That's a blessing of the Lord. You know what? You know where we're going to live? When it's all said and done, and the Lord Jesus Christ gives back the kingdom to the Father, you know where we're going to live? The new heaven and new earth. We're going to be recompensed in the earth, aren't we? Streets of gold, the sun never sets. Mansion, New Jerusalem. If I understand the Scriptures right, being part of the Lord's church is at the Lord's pleasure, be there and never leave. If I understand it right, the Lord will do what He wants to do, and it's not because of me, it's because of His blessing upon me. Boy, an earth with no sin. No sea on that earth. Wherever the Lord Jesus goes, there His church or His bride or whoever that is will go with Him. However that'll be. Forever. Boy, that's some recompense in the earth. And you know, the thing is, those things are good and those things are pleasant and those things are promised. But yet the greatest blessing will just be to be with our Lord and Savior, to see His face. You know, might not go home to the mansion for, I don't know, a few thousand years. You know what I mean? But having been made kings and priests, I don't know, what are you going to be? Will you be a king or will you be a priest or will we be both? Whatever the Lord wants. Got that stone that the Lord gives to some. The overcomers in His church is what He says. And then that stone's got a name written on it, if my memory serves me right. And only the Lord knows that name, and only the person that the Lord gives it to knows that name. Well, then to us, be honest, to us, it doesn't seem too hot to be carrying around a stone. I'll tell you what, that stone will be precious. Because it'll be given to us by the rock. Amen? Oh, boy, we'll be recompensed in the earth, indeed, by the blessing of our Savior. Heaven's just a temporary place for the saints to live. Yeah, the saints are indeed in heaven. And the Lord takes us out of here in death, and that's where those that are saved go, to heaven. But won't live in heaven forever. We'll be on that new earth. There'll be a new heaven, but be on there in that new earth with the new Jerusalem. And the Lord, the Father, and the Son, I think the Scripture says, are the temple of it, right? And the Son's the light of it, right? We'll be recompensed in the earth, all by the blessing, the love, grace, and mercy of our Savior, indeed. Heaven is just a temporary place right now for saints to live. It is in the earth. It is the earth is where everyone will receive their long home of the saved. Those that are the Lord's, their long home, go to their long home and eternal reward. But there's the last part of that verse, isn't there? Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. How can that be? I'll tell you what, a passage that I scratched my head about, you can read it when you get home. In Isaiah chapter 66, it says that at some time, there will be those of the people, there will be the people of God that will walk by and see the souls of those that burn in hell or the lake of fire. Read it. It's at some point that that'll be the case. I don't see that it would be in the millennial reign, but maybe it would be. I'm interested in just knowing about that. And it may be that the hell and the lake of fire is in some other place. But you know, it's thought by many that, and by some of the wording that's in the Scripture, is that hell is in the heart of the earth. It says much more, the wicked and the sinner will be recompensed in the earth. If that is the case, that hell is there, boy, you know, we know that this passage is true. We know that it's true. And is that the way that it is that the sinner that has rejected the gospel, has rejected Christ, has loved this present world more so, is that the justice and the eternal condemnation of God, is that hell and the lake of fire, that place of eternal suffering, is in the heart and the core of the earth? That's what sinners wanted. They didn't want the Lord. They didn't want redemption by Him. They didn't want freed or saved from their sins. But they wanted what this earth has to offer, this world. What man has in himself. What the prince and the power of the air makes a sucker pitch that he can offer. And is that what that means? Is that sinners indeed get what they want? They get the earth eternally, and hell, the lake of fire forever, and burning and darkness and brimstone and torment and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Tell you what, flee to Christ. Amen. Repent of your sins and simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast your all your care, all your wickedness, your sin, your defilement, all that, just cast it all on the Lord. May the Lord help and bless with His word.